This is an amazing passage of Scripture today. I say that all the time. I mean it. And I have been loving the book of Luke. This is, I don't know, you know, there's something about life. Have you ever heard the phrase, you have, but I'll ask it rhetorically, familiarity breeds contempt, right? And you see this in the sad, maybe it's not the saddest, but it's very sad in human relationships. And it's the way the world is wired, unfortunately. You get to know someone, and then they're just not exciting anymore. How sad. It's a person made in the image of God, right? But it's just our lack of contentment. Familiarity breeds contempt. And I think we can approach the Scriptures that way, amen? And I don't have any idea how many times I have read the Bible front to back in my life. I have no idea. 30 times? Probably, right? I have no idea, plus all the study that I do and everything. So I'm super familiar with the Gospels, just super familiar with them. But digging into the book of Luke this time has been amazing to see the detail and the distinctive order that Luke puts things in. And just the way he lays it, it's just amazing. It's awesome. It's so rich. And I've been just loving it. I'm looking forward to this continuing. I'm almost done with the study. I'm hopeful to be done with the study of Luke by the end of September to get us through March. And that's the hope. That's my goal. Amazing book. And this is a passage. This is one of those today in preparing. And we'll look at a little review from last week. But in preparing, I'm looking at this and I'm thinking to myself, this is one of the most helpful passages of Scripture any human being can ever come across. We need this. Human beings need to hear this today. Every human being on planet Earth should hear this message. And it's helpful for life. It's helpful for understanding why life doesn't work sometimes. But it's incredibly important to see if you want to have a relationship with the living God. It's so important. And I'm looking at it and I'm looking at my notes and I'm thinking, oh man, I'm not gonna do this passage justice, which is true. We just have to take that as what's gonna happen. But I hope that we get into it enough that we really get the richness of it. It's amazing. The most important thing, and it can't be overstated, is that a person knows that they're right with God. I mean, you know, we're inundated with COVID numbers, right? All the time, because it's just the new thing to do. Do you know what the mortality rate is? It's 100. I didn't say for COVID, right? The mortality rate is 100. Every person is going to die. We are all dying right now. When you die, in a sense, it's very irrelevant. You're going to die young, you're going to die old. What you're going to die of is also very irrelevant, because the future is all of eternity. Think about that with me. Let that weight sink into your soul a little bit. You are currently dying. Every person in this planet is currently dying. And the span of life that we have just poof, poof, gone. Met a man this week. God gave me the opportunity to talk to him. He had full of tattoos. Started talking to him about tattoos. I was embarrassed to, but I wanted to take a picture of the dude. The tattoos he had were amazing. They looked like someone had taken an actual photograph. I had never seen tattoos like that, and he was head to toe. But one of them said, God, please forgive me. What an awesome opportunity, amen? I didn't know what it was. It's a Hispanic dude that I met. And just neat. Think about how important, how impactful it is. And think about the gospel opportunities we have because people are afraid of death. Think about it. Are you using those? Think about how important this is. This is life. This isn't life and death. This is heaven and hell. This is so important. And so for us, we break this down and we back up to make it personal and we start to ask the question, what makes it so that some people just don't know Christ? What's going on there? Why is that? We have people in our families that just won't get the gospel message. They just don't care. They don't want to hear it. What's going on? They're not. What is? And Jesus explains it. Wow. Thank the Lord, right? How cool. But we make it personal because then we start to take a look at our own lives and we say, is this active in my life? Am I taking my salvation for granted? Is this active in my life? So important. How well do you hear? And Jesus really breaks this down for us. It's neat. Many people were coming to hear Jesus speak, and people were hearing him speak, and normal people, the outcasts of the world, the Pharisees and the lawyers, and that those groups, those people groups, continue throughout his ministry all the way up into the chapters that I'm in now, 14, 15. And the same groups are around him. Jesus taught them about John the Baptist, and the first group accepted his message, the outcasts and the normal people, but the Pharisees didn't. And this is so important to remember. We'll come back to chapter 7 at the end here. The Pharisees and the lawyers rejected the message, and I guess I love it, but I actually am horrified by this verse. I love it for the clarity, and I'm horrified by the content. The Pharisees and the lawyers rejected the purpose of God for themselves. Whew. Whoa. That's one of the most weighty verses, humanly speaking, in the scriptures. Think about that. They rejected the purpose of God for themselves. God had a purpose for those people, and they said no. Wow. So, of course, they didn't receive the teaching of Christ. And so Jesus gave them this silly and serious parable. It's silly because of the way he laid it out. I think he did that on purpose, but the point was very serious. What shall I compare the people of this generation? What are they like? They're like children sitting in a marketplace calling to another. We played the flute for you, didn't dance. We sang for you, didn't weep. There's no right answer with you people. What do you want? John the Baptist came eating and drinking. He said he's a demon. He came eating no bread, drinking no wine. He said he has a demon. Son of man, come eating and drinking. He said, look, a wine bibber and friend of sinners, tax collectors. It's absurd. Their viewpoint was absurd. And so then in the passage we saw a woman who was a sinner and the Pharisee. They went to his house and the woman demonstrated true repentance. A Pharisee, Simon, had a hard heart. And so Jesus gave them the parable of the two debtors, who loves more, right? And really the point was to teach us that, certainly that, you know, if you're forgiven more, you love more. But the point was that Simon was lost. He was self-righteous. Self-righteousness had caused him to be lost. He was still in his sins. Of course, the Pharisees were indignant when Jesus forgave the woman's sins. And that brings us then into the teaching in chapter 8. As we're going to read together, I invite you to follow along with me. So soon afterward, Jesus is ministering. Don't you love Luke? Soon afterward, he's traveling, he's ministering. And right after that, he has another interaction with a group of people. Soon after, he went on through the cities and villages, proclaiming and bringing the good news of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with him. And also some women who had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, and many called, and Mary called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had gone out, and Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's household manager, and Susanna, and many others who provided for them out of their means. And when a great crowd was gathering, people from town after town came to him, and he said to him a parable. And Jesus gives many parables in Luke, and they're very good ones. This is one of the most famous ones, amen. He said to them in a parable, a sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell along the path and was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air devoured it. And some fell on the rock, and as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. And some fell among the thorns, and thorns grew up and choked it. And some fell to the good soil and grew and yielded 100-fold. And he said these things, he called out, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. And when the disciples asked him what the parable meant, he said, to you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God, but to others they are in parables, so that seeing they may not see, hearing they may not understand. Now, the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. The ones along the path are those who have heard, then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. The ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, they receive it with joy. But these have no root. They believe for a while. In time of testing, they fall away. And as for what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit doesn't mature. As for that in the good soil, those who hearing the word hold it fast in an honest and good heart and bear fruit with patience. No one, after lighting a lamp, covers it with a jar, or puts it under a bed, or puts it on a stand, so that those who enter may see the light. Nothing is hidden that will not be made manifest, nor is anything secret that will not come to light. Take care then how you hear. For to the one who has, more will be given, and from the one who has not, even what he thinks that he has will be taken away. Then his mother and brothers came, but they couldn't reach him because of the crowd, and he was told, your mother and brother are standing outside desiring to see you. But he answered them, my mother and brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it. Wow, what a passage, amen? What a passage. Let's pray and ask God to help us as we unpack this morning. God, thank you for this amazing passage. So rich, so powerful, so clarifying for us, convicting. And God, I pray that it would be helpful to us, and just pray for the poor, feeble lips of the speaker today. God, this is such an amazing passage that we would understand it well. And God, take these things to heart and learn to see your word different, learn to think of life different. And God, I pray that we would be sure, that we would know that we are in Christ. In his name, amen. Well, Jesus' ministry continued. You have sort of this transitional thing. Soon afterwards, he was proclaiming his ministry is continuing. Some women, interesting details. Luke loves to put those details in. No sense glossing over them, right? He's ministering. And also some woman who had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities. Mary Magdalene, this struck me pretty today. 7 demons had gone out from her. Think about how miserable that woman's life would have been. And we see things like when Jesus heals someone and he says, she was bound with a spirit. You know, you'll get made fun of today for saying that, right? The spiritual world is real. You know, don't take that for granted. I think part of our mentality is very arrogant in this quote-unquote modern age, where we think we're so advanced that we can just ignore the spiritual realities of this world, that there really is not an evil demonic force pulling strings, manipulating things in our politics, in our world system, in our government, in our powerful and rich people. I think it's just foolish and arrogant to discount the spiritual wickedness. I mean, Paul flat out tells us, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the spiritual forces of darkness. That needs to get our attention, amen? Here is Jesus saying that a lady had 7 demons. Wow. And it's pretty cool how God used these people. And it's significant that Luke uses Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's household manager. It's a prominent and rich dude. King's household manager. And this person that God had made rich, and then God took this person's riches, put them right into the ministry of Jesus, and this person provided for the ministry of Jesus. Isn't that cool? I mean, God planned that. And this is how Jesus was able to minister. He had these ladies that he saved, and then they took of the finances that God had already provided, and they just were able to, they were so wealthy, just provide. Here you go, let's go to Stu Ministry. That is awesome. And God used women too, isn't that cool? He used women. You know, it's brought out for a reason. These are the women. God used them that way. Pretty cool. I like that. And so then we come to the parable. That's the meat of the chapter. Jesus often taught in parables. We're going to pause for a moment and just talk about the idea of a parable because it comes out in this passage again. It's important that God has used parables in the Old Testament. Often he said in a parable, and we have some of these Old Testament examples, Son of Man, propound a riddle, speak a parable. It's like a dark saying in the Old Testament. I will open my mouth in a parable, utter dark sayings. It says specifically there, right? It's an idea, it's not the clearest, it's a story. And in the Greek, it's a neat word. And like paramedic, someone who's alongside of a medic or kind of a medic, someone that helps in that field. Para always has the idea of alongside. And in the Greek, it literally means to throw alongside. Isn't that interesting? To throw it alongside. And so it's the idea of parabolo. You throw the idea alongside is the balo part. You throw this idea alongside the other idea. So it says, well, here's an idea I want to teach you. And It's so much easier to learn from a story. I'm going to throw the story alongside here, and it'll give you the idea that I'm trying to impart to you. It's just really cool. We do that in modern day preaching with like illustrations, things like that. That's what we're trying to do, pictures. And I love this quote. It's not from me. I don't know. It's not really a quote. It's just something I heard once. A parable is a lot of times an illustration in words. I think it's Ravi Zacharias that said, "A word or a story is worth 1,000 pictures." You know, you've heard a picture is worth 1,000 words. He said it's not really true. He said, "I believe that a story is worth 1,000 pictures. It just paints a picture in your mind. Maybe it goes both ways, but a parable is a kind of story with a message." And it illustrates a life lesson. Now, there's two main purposes for a parable in the scriptures. One is, just like we're talking about, to paint that picture to help us understand what God is saying. This one does that. It's rich. It's beautiful. And so, and I love learning that way. I don't know if it's the way I'm wired or whatever, but I love hearing an idea and that it equates to a truth. I love that. I love it when storytellers and picture makers or movie makers can do that. But the other one is a little shocking. It makes us chew on our theology a little bit. The other reason for a parable is so that people won't learn. Isn't that weird? That's weird to me. But there's a reason, and it's right in this passage. It is, and I have proof of that, of course, and the proof is in this passage as well. We'll see it. To you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God, but those outside, everything is in parables, that they may see and not perceive, that they may hear and not understand. That's weird, right? But God has a reason in that. And we're going to see it in this Luke 8. And we have a similar idea in Luke 8 there. The hearing they may not understand. Matthew 13, this is why I speak to them in parables. Because seeing they do not see. Because hearing they do not hear. And sometimes order is really important. Remember in Pharaoh hardened his heart and then God hardened his heart later. And so sometimes order is important, those kind of things. But I'll give you the short version, then we can all go home. They're given in parables because people really weren't listening. They didn't want to hear. How well do you hear? This whole thing is about hearing. And if we can learn nothing from this today, it's how important it is in how you hear. English is weird. Sometimes I think English is dumb. Because I would say, did you hear what I'm saying? And you would say, of course I heard. Right? I'm not deaf. But what I meant was, you're not listening, right? You're not attentive. You're not taking to heart the things that I'm saying. That's what God is saying here. You're hearing it. And I sometimes will say this, the words are flowing in, right? But they ain't landing nowhere, right? It's flowing in, but you're not listening. You're not hearing. Hear this. Listen to this. Think about this. A lot of times you'll talk to somebody and you get the sense that they're already framing a response to you before you've even finished. Are they hearing you? They're not hearing. They're not hearing well. They're not listening. That's what the problem is, why Jesus gave these parables. Because people were there, their audio was going in, they didn't want to hear it. We got a sense of that in Luke when the guy yells out, oh, the theological expression, right? Oh, blessed is everyone who'll eat in the kingdom of God. That's, when I read that, what I read was, I am not listening to anything you're saying, right? It's just this expression of nonsense based on a theological idea because Jesus had just taught something incredibly important. You're lost. Well, yeah, I don't care about that. I'm not lost, right? Crazy. Jesus had already proven who he was. He explained to his disciples who he was, and they needed to understand who he was. He's teaching these Pharisees. He's teaching these crowds that they need to follow him, they need to turn to him. And so he gives this parable of the sower. He gives this parable of the sower. I believe, and there's some other cross-references that you've seen, that the sower is Jesus. It just is. He's the sower. Now, this gets my attention a little bit, and I know it's not what this is about, this passage is about. But here's the first thing I think of today, and I'm guarding myself not to preach another whole message. Are you sowing? Are you sowing? This is all I'm going to say. If you don't sow, nothing will grow. Right? You don't sow, nothing will grow. If the farmer leaves his field empty, what grows? something from last year and some weeds. Are you sowing? Now the sower in this one is Jesus, and the word and the what he's sowing is the word of God. A parable about sowing. And I'm going to read it again just so that we get it. I'm going to read it again. We're going to unpack the actual parable, then we're going to unpack the explanation. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell along the path and was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air devoured it. Some fell on the rock, and as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. Some fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it. This is, I mean, if you live in Iowa, you get this parable, right? This is easy stuff. This is what happens in your garden. Some fell into the good soil, and it grew and yielded a hundredfold. And he said these things. He called out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Most important command in this passage right here. It's hear, listen up. Listen to this. You need to hear this today. So the parable unpacks like this. The path is a hardened, packed walkway. Yours might call it the wayside. And they would, like we talked about in the plucking of the grains passage, they didn't have the same highway and road system that we have, so they would walk through fields sometimes. The field workers would need a way to get to the individual fields. And so they just created paths around the edge of the field, and it, in desert or hard, go out now, we haven't had rain, right? It's rock hard, okay? If you walked on that all the time, ain't nothing going to grow there. All right, and I could equate it to, it's not the same, but equate it to sidewalks, like throwing grass seed on the sidewalk. What's going to happen? It's dead, right? It's not going to grow. And that's what this hard-packed soil is. It's not suitable for planting, and it's exposed easily and picked up by birds. If you throw seed on your sidewalk, it's very likely that birds will go out there and eat it. That's just the way that it is. It's going to happen. And so it's easily picked by birds. That's the point there. The rocky ground then is not the sidewalk. It is actually more akin to the dirt that as you drive across Dubuque into Wisconsin where they cut that big tunnel, that big path for the highway, you look up the stone all the way up, and there's that little teeny thin thing of dirt. Have you ever seen that? That's what this is. It's hard bedrock underneath a little thin of dirt. Now, evidently, in their area, the rock was even harder than here. We have some porous rock where a root might grow in it. Evidently, there just ain't nothing growing there, right? It's just a little dirt on top of bedrock. And not just loose rocks, because the farmers would remove those. This, what this means is there's not enough soil there for the seed to take root. It's not deep enough. The root can go in and it spreads out. You know, that'll happen if you're into gardening. And you'll learn this. If you haven't yet, this is a good gardening tip. If you go to the garden store and you buy a pot, my dad used to say, if you have a $1 pot, dig a $5 hole. Right? You dig a great big hole, because if you don't, what'll happen is the plant will get root bound, even in the regular soil. And I've seen it happen. The roots will just go in where it's easy in the potting soil. They won't try to get into the harder soil. So the roots will go down in this thin soil, they'll hit the hard, and they'll spread out. If you live in a hot climate, they're dead. They just can't take it. There's no moisture there. There's nothing for them. That's the point of this soil. Can't take root, dies quickly. Among thorns, easy to figure that one out. Weedy ground. Plants do not do well among weeds. That's why we weed our garden. It looks nicer. But also, if you have like a vegetable garden, you're trying to get some fruit out of it, and you have weeds around it, forget about it. Now, sometimes you can go in and you can pick the weeds, and the plants will come back. Sometimes they're stunted, though. Weeds are a killer. Trees, I told you I like to do trees. I used to do that a lot. There are, especially young trees, most of them are this way, but there are certain kinds of trees that if you plant a tree in the grass, you might as well have you wasted your time. You might as well forget it. You need to get the grass around out of that tree. Then plant it. It'll do fine. Keep the grass back from it. Grass gets on it, it won't grow. Things like irises, those are so beautiful. Very prone to grass because they grow on top. If grass gets in your irises, they're going to do terribly. Terribly. Sometimes you got to dig the whole iris up and start over. That's what he's talking about here. These weeds get up. They get the water, they get the sunlight. There are actually weeds that grow and grow around the vegetables and pull them down. I mean, it's just that serious. So this is the weedy ground. And then, of course, the good soil. Now, the good soil is interesting. Some fell among good soil, yielded 100-fold. There was no crop that yielded 100-fold at that time in Palestine. This was something that would have stunned them. Normal yield was 8. 8 to 1. 10 was a bumper crop. So this is something beyond their experience. Now, today, yeah, we can do it, right? We can do it because we have all of our modern chemicals and modern farming techniques. We have much better soil here, quite honestly. But to them, that would be like 100-fold. What are you talking about? And so this is an amazing, unthinkable bounty that Jesus is saying. If the seed can just get into good soil, you have no idea how much it's going to produce. That's what Jesus is saying. This seed, if it gets into the hearing heart, it is going to produce such a bounty that you had no, it doesn't even fit your imagination. It's such an increase that the seed is going to produce in your life. That's what Jesus is saying. So the seed, as we saw in verse 11, is Jesus explaining it, is the Word of God. It's not just some good gardening tips, right? I wonder, isn't that weird? I wonder how many times Jesus is teaching and some Pharisees are like, gardening tips? Right? And he explains it to his disciples, and he says, the seed is actually the Word of God, is what I'm talking about. This is how important this is. This is the maker of all things, the creator of the universe, the great and glorious God from heaven has communicated to us his word. Wow. And God sent the sower. This is Jesus. And the sower is out and he's among the people and he's spreading the word of the very creator. Wow. The word of God. Now the four kinds of soil are actually four kinds of hearer. And you saw that all throughout the passage there. All these different hearers. The ones along the path. So now notice these hearers here. Every one of these is a hearer. The ones along the path are those who have heard. At least the audio went in. And then the devil comes and takes away the word from their heart so that they may not believe and be saved. Now, I've heard these four different kinds of hearers explained many different ways, because this is a confusing passage. Some people want to argue whether or not these are carnal Christians, whether they actually are saved or not saved, and people want to parse that out and everything. And I've heard some good explanations where one guy landed, he said, the last one we know is saved, the other three could be, maybe not, or whatever. And I think it wasn't from Luke, because look at this. He takes the word away from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. These people are lost. After this study, I'm of the opinion that it's very likely that all three of the bad hearers are lost. All lost. That's sobering, amen? Now, it is possible. It's possible that that's, you know, not true. And please, life is not black and white, all right? You can't pigeonhole someone into one of these hearers except for possibly yourself, okay? But that is sobering. I don't care who you are. The devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts. They cannot believe. They may not believe and be saved. These are the unresponsive hearer. They've heard, but they didn't respond. They were hard-hearted. I think this is a lot of the Jewish leaders. They didn't want to hear. We call them stiff-necked. They're scoffers, they're scornful. The word comes in. They're not listening. And they're easy prey for the devil. Right? Think about it. This is the atheist of our day. His mind is already made up. The word comes in. The word is powerful. The word is there to change his heart, and he scoffs. What happens? The devil plucks that word right out. Think about that. That's serious business, amen? A hard heart, a scoffer. You're just inviting the devil's ministry in your life. If you have that kind of a hearing, you're not listening. Easy prey for the devil. The word is removed from your heart. And you can't be saved. The rocky ground, then, is the next hearer. The ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, they receive it with joy. Now, don't take that to be salvation. It may be, but it may not be. They heard it and they liked it. That's what that really says. They heard it. That sounds good, right? But these have no root. There's no real change in their life. It wasn't able to get down where it needed to get. We've said this sometimes, there's a gap from this far from someone being saved, right? They got the knowledge, but they just haven't been changed internally. They're the superficial hearer. Superficial. The soil is so thin. The hearing is so superficial. They've professed Christ, but they've fallen away. They have a superficial response to the gospel, not a spiritual response to the gospel. They believe in God, but they do not know God. They have no relationship with God. The world is full of these people. The world is full of superficial hearers. No root, no real faith. They fall away. When trial comes, poof, gone. And they would say, in time of testing, they fall away. I didn't sign up for this. If God was real, he wouldn't have fill in the blank. Superficial faith. Rocky ground. Thorns. Easy one, amen? Easy one. Easy one to understand. Bit convicting for Americans. I hope it is for you. I hope I'm not the only one. When I read these, I'm like, got a guard on this one. Got a guard on this one. As far as what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear. But as they go on their way, they're choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and their fruit does not mature. The worldly hearer. They love this world. They love it. They love their life. They love the world. They love all the stuff that's in the world. Church, we need to grow on this. Amen. My wife and I were just talking about this week. I can just speak for myself. Well, I can speak for most Christians that I know. We're too much like the world. We're too much like the world. We have too much of the world's stuff, too much of the world's desires, too much of the world's goals. I know I do. The worldly hearer, they like the gospel because it benefits them, but they don't love Jesus. Jesus is a handy add-on to their happy life. Their life is much more important to them than Jesus. Preserving their life, getting what the comfort of life, saving their life, having pleasure, having experiences, whatever, material possessions are definitely in view here, right? They're choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of this life. And they never really bear any spiritual fruit. That's the key, really, to understanding someone is lost. The idea of no fruit, man, that has got to get your attention. If there is no fruit, we're talking about something different there, aren't we? Struggling, having problems, sure, we're sinners. No fruit, wake up. Wake up. Something's wrong. You're in the wrong category. They don't care that there's no fruit. That's the problem. Jesus is an add-on to their life. They go to church. These are church people. And we're going to look at that in a minute. Jesus is talking to what we would call church people. These are religious people. They're coming to hear the prophet, all right? Look at some of these examples. Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, "You lack one thing. Go and sell what you have and give to the poor. You'll have treasure in heaven. Come follow me." He heard the word, right? The word was right there. The sower is right in front of him saying, "Look, follow me. Sell everything you've got. Follow me. This is the life that God has for you." Disheartened by the saying, he went away sorrowful. He had great positions. Gone. Love the world. Worldly hearer. Jesus told his disciples, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, follow me. Whoever would save his life will lose it. Whoever would lose his life for my sake will find it. What will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? What will a man give in return for his soul? You had everything you wanted in life. You got life worked out perfectly for you. You lost your soul. What good was that?" Be careful, worldly hearer. Those thorns will choke you out. Those thorns will make you unfruitful. And then, of course, the good soil. I love the wording in this explanation, too. Man, this is rich. "As for that in the good soil, there are those who, hearing the word of God, hold it fast in an honest and good heart." Don't you love that? I mean, the word gets into the heart of the good soil where the person loves the Lord and they're really listening and they're hearing from God and it takes down root and they're like, "Man, I'm holding that. That's true. Yes. And their heart is honest, and it's a good heart, and they bear fruit with patience. Their life shows that they're a believer. The good soil, responsive hearer. They're really the one that's listening. They're receptive to the word. That's what the good hearer has that's different. The good hearer, the responsive hearer, the good soil is actually wanting to know what God has to say. That's the difference. The person actually is listening, wants to hear what God has to say. They want God in their life. They want the word, and their life bears fruit. You know they're saved. There's no question about it. You see the fruit in their life. They're changed. Notice their thinking and their actions that are changed. They hear the word, they have an honest and good heart, and they bear fruit with patience. Thinking flows out into actions. And James said this, he talked about this, and I believe this flows out of this kind of teaching of Jesus here. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. Do you see what James is saying? He's saying, there are some of you who are in one of those three categories of hearing. James's audience, right? You're just not really listening, and you're self-deceived. You need to go back and read the parable of the sower, is what he's saying. You're deceiving yourself if you're a hearer only. If anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror intently. He looks at himself, goes away, forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. That's the person you know is in Christ. Right? They look at the word and they say, oh, okay, yep, let's do that. Oh, this is what God says? Let's follow that. This is what Jesus said to do? Okay, let's trust Jesus Christ in this. That's the good soil. Now, of course, as I said earlier, it's a matter of hearing then. And the issue is with the soil. I remember one time Charles Spurgeon reading one of his things, he told his congregation, which needs more attention? The seed or the soil? That's a great question, isn't it? And think about the hours that I pour over the Word of God to come here and prepare it for you. That's what Spurgeon was saying. I prepare hours each week to share these messages with you. Are you preparing the soil? That is a great question. The issue is with the soil because the seed was the same in all four cases. In fact, the sower was the same in all four cases. Everyone received the word or heard the message, but only one soil responded correctly to the word of God. We know that for sure. Only one person has assurance of salvation. We can't say that they're saved, person is saved or not, we don't know. But we know that only one has assurance because their life bore fruit. The rest of them should be worried about it, quite honestly. That's the right kind of worry. What am I doing here? What have I really done? What am I believing? Everyone heard, only one soil, one person responded correctly. And the difference was in their manner of hearing. As he says, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. You have ears, now listen. You have ears, audio is going in, take it to heart. Believe, listen to what you're hearing. Not everyone does. Take care then how you hear. That's the point. The one who has, Melissa, this is that whole... this is, you know, the emphasis of it. For the one who has, more will be given. The one who has not, notice what, I love the wording here, the phraseology. Even what he thinks he has will be taken away, you see. And see, let's go back. We're going to look at verse chapter 7 just briefly. I told him we'd be done by 35 for sure. But let's go back and think about this. Here's this group of religious people, these Pharisees. Here's these people that are following Christ, and then these religious teachers that are in there. Jesus is teaching them. And they think they've got something, right? They do. They think they're saved. They're hearing from the prophet, but they're not hearing from the prophet. They're not listening. And Jesus is warning them, and I believe warning everyone that reads this, be careful how you hear. Be careful. Not everyone who hears is actually listening. Real Christians, they hear. That's the point of that whole addition of what happened with his mothers and brothers. His family comes and they're like, we want to see you, and he's teaching. And instead of saying, you know, well, I'm busy or I'll go see him in a little bit, he uses it to teach more. And he said, I'll tell you who my family is. My family are the people that hear the word of God and do it. Okay? Real followers of Christ, They hear what he says and they put it into practice. It sinks down, it gets that good soil that bears fruit, sinks down into their heart, it takes up root, they follow him. My sheep hear my voice, I know them, they follow me. We hear correctly. Now, as we wrap this up, I wanted to review a little bit of chapter 7 and think about this. The Pharisees didn't receive Jesus because of their pride, because their minds were made up. In other words, they were coming not to hear, okay, or to not hear, or at least, I think, not to hear. There was just passing, I don't care about this dude, what he's saying. They were actually there to discredit him at some point, pretty early on, quite honestly. Think about how important that is. How do you approach the Word of God, right? How do you do it? How do you approach it? How do you come to the Word of God? Does it humble you? Do you come with an open mind and heart to hear, or are you there saying, oh, I already heard that before. I've got it all figured out. Yeah, I grew up in church. That's exactly what the Pharisees did. A little more serious with them, because they actually had that attitude, and they were wrong, right? You see? It's a little more serious with them, but their minds were made up. They didn't see themselves as needy or sinners. They even refused the baptism of John, as we saw last week, and they were unwilling to hear. The result was they were not forgiven. They were lost. Their soil was one of the three, okay? And by the way, the Pharisees, if you look at the narrative, fell into all three of those categories all the time. All the time. They were the too much about money. They were, you know, just not listening. They were not ready to hear the word. The devil plucks it out. Too much pride. I mean, there's just all of those. They fell into them all the time. Self-righteousness and pride are two of the most dangerous sins. They blind you. Think about this with me. Why did Jesus in Matthew 18 tell us, when your brother sins, go to him, if he hears you? Isn't that interesting? Think about how important your attitude on listening is. If you come with your mind made up, if you're not listening, if you're not open to instruction, you're just shutting, or you're at least shutting off the word of God in your life. You're unwilling to hear. Self-righteousness will blind you. It will keep you from receiving the grace of God because you're not listening to God. You think these commandments are for other people. Maybe those are for the bad people or the weak people or whatever. Like the scoffer will say often, oh, I don't need that religion. That's a crutch for weak people, right? To which I've said often, you bet. Praise God, right? Throw that baby on me. I need that crutch today. I'm weak. Guess what? So are you. You see? You're not hearing. You're not ready for the word of God, and you're not going to get it. God gives us those kind of choices. We don't usually think of the bad soil as religious people. Maybe you do. I don't necessarily. But each one of these people that were hearing Jesus was exposed to the word of God and fit into those categories of the bad soil. That's why failure to hear is so dangerous. If you're not willing to hear what God says, you remain lost. And there's not much anyone can do for you. I've said this as an expression of frustration, but I see it folding together regularly as I study the Word of God. Is give me a sinning fool any day over somebody that's hard-hearted and won't hear. Any day. Even a nasty one. Even a nasty sinner that will listen over someone that's hard-hearted. Any day. Because you can work with a person that's listening. You can reason with a person that's listening. You can have a discussion with a person that's listening. But someone that has their mind made up, you're wasting your time. You might as well forget it. You might as well move on and do something else. Hard-heartedness is so dangerous. It's so arrogant. It's like you're saying you have life figured out. You know what it's about. Yes, I understand that. Yeah, I know that. And you're wrong, and I don't want to hear your perspective or whatever. Danger. Danger. Failure to hear. You're not willing to hear what God says. These people were lost. Not much anyone can do for yourself. So humble yourself. Humble yourself. Be careful how you hear. And the issue is, of course, the soil. So that's where I would leave us today. How do you hear? How do you see yourself? How do you see yourself approaching hearing? Are you listening when you're confronted or when it's hard? Do you listen? Do you want to hear? Or do you want, we just assume that everyone else would leave you alone? how when you approach the Word of God, when the prophet comes to you, when you hear, this is what you should do, this is what you shouldn't do, are you attentive? Do you let God change you? Be careful how you hear. Let's pray. God, thank you again for this rich passage. I know I haven't accomplished what I would like to and how important this is. And God, just use the feeble attempt of the speaker and the rich beauty of your word, God, to help us and to change us. Lord, save us from ourselves. We are so prone to pride and just not being open to your work. Our heart breaks for these people that were around Jesus who fell into these three categories. Save us from ourselves, God, that we would not find ourselves with these attitudes. And God, I pray that you would be willing to bear this shocking amount of fruit in our life. What a beautiful thing to show us this morning, that there is nothing you can't accomplish, nothing you won't accomplish in a person's life who is open, who is yielded to you, who is willing to follow you fully and let you work. And so, God, we pray to that end today. And I pray as we're out on the internet, anyone who's out there, if you're struggling today, if you're not sure you're in Christ, oh, humble yourself. Get into the Word today. Read the Gospel of John. Submit yourself to Christ. Turn to Him for salvation today. Let God change you. Let God make your soil new, and so that that word can just take up root in you and make you born again and join the family of Christ with us. In His wonderful name we pray, amen.